friends, to the second hour of Spingola Speaks. This is Deanna Spingola, and my guest this hour is Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review. It is an independent public interest educational center and publisher based in Southern California. Their website is ihr.org. Mark, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much, Deanna. It's a real pleasure to be on the show. I've admired your work. I'm very pleased to be with you today.
Well, thank you so much. Now, you are the author of many articles, reviews, and essays dealing with historical, political, and social issues, which have appeared in a variety of periodicals and in a range of languages. And I have read some of your articles, and I've also listened to some of your audio files, and your audio files are available there at the website. One of the ones that I particularly liked was something that you wrote back in 1983, the summer of 1983.
Oh,
now, I wasn't part of the truth movement at that time. I was doing some other things. I was trying to find truth, but I hadn't quite discovered, you know, the people who were promoting it. But you wrote an article called President Roosevelt's Campaign to Incite War in Europe, The Secret Polish Documents by Mark Weber. And it was in the Journal of Historical Review and in the summer of 1983. And I found that very, very informative. Now, the Journal of Historical Review is what the Institute for Historical Review publishes. And it was published, I have a CD that covers the 1980 to 2002. Do you still publish that?
No, not anymore. No, we weren't able to keep it going economically. Publishing, as you know, has changed drastically. And the Journal of Historical Review was one of the victims of the Internet age, I guess, like a lot of other periodicals.
Okay, but you also have books. What kinds of books does the Institute publish?
Well, you'll find a large range of them on the website homepage, and then we have also an IHR store website as well, which has a complete listing of all the books we have, but some of the more popular or important titles that we're promoting or publishing or whatever right now are listed on the homepage of the IHR website on the left column. Right now, we're distributing just a new thing, a new edition of the book on Dresden by David Irving. This
Hi.
Was the book that launched his career some years ago. It's still very relevant today. And as you were indicating in your remarks earlier, the ignorance and the distortion about World War II is really very, very much still in place here in America, despite the passage of time. In fact, some ways it's worse than ever. But this books by David Irving and, of course, many other books that we've had available for a long time are really pretty readily, you can find them pretty quickly on our website, and I've urged people to check out the dozens and dozens of books that audio and videotapes and discs that we have.
Okay, I know one book that you have online. You have several online, including one that you wrote, The Zionist Terror Network, and you have Ernst Zundel's False News Trial of 1988, which is online,
right.
Which I suggest that everyone read. I recently purchased a book called Flashpoint, Kristallnacht, 1938, Instigators, Victims, and Beneficiaries. It's
right.
by Ingrid Veckert, and it was
yes.
published by the Institute in 1991. And I had to pay $55 for it at Amazon. You know, we have to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now, 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
All righty, welcome back. My guest this hour is Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review. And we were talking about Flashpoint. This book is so full of juicy, juicy, interesting things that nobody can find anywhere else except in this book. When do you plan on republishing this book?
Well, I don't know. That's one of several books that we want to reissue, and we right now just don't have the money to do that. Money's very tight. We're being forced to move, and next month we'll be moving to a new office warehouse property. It's been very difficult, and it's very difficult to sustain this. But that's one of several books we should bring back into print. Remember, though, a lot of these items, of course, are now available online. I don't know about that specific book, but it is, as you say, it contains a lot of very valuable information that you just don't find everywhere else.
Right. And I understand that the Institute has probably copyrights for 500 books or so.
No, I wouldn't say that. No, not that many. But it does have copyrights on a number of books, yes, that's true.
Uh-huh. Now, who funds you?
We're funded almost entirely, overwhelmingly, by donations, by people who appreciate what we're doing, they agree with us, and they send donations online and in by mail, not only across the United States, but in many foreign countries as well.
And so no other entity funds you?
No. But in fact, we're very pleased about just how broad-based our level of support is from people of very different backgrounds, of course, in the United States and around the world as well. In fact, if you look at the IHR website very much, you'll pretty readily much larger, you might say, world perspective, both in geographical terms around the world and in historical terms, a broader perspective than many other organizations which are working for essentially the same kinds of goals. Because
sure.
I think it's really important, very important in our time, to understand what's going on from as large a broader perspective as possible, because America has never faced the kind of problems today that it's facing ever in its past. This is a really crucial time in American history.
Sure.
From a historical perspective, it's just ominous and anxious, the kinds of problems we're dealing with now.
Sure. Now, I'm familiar with a number of Holocaust revisionists. Who are some of the ones that write for you?
Well,
I know you don't have the journal anymore, but do they write articles for the website?
Well, there's been, of course, you know, we continue to distribute and sell, make things available by others. There's been very little new writing on the Holocaust issue in recent years. The most important book that came out in recent years is probably Debating the Holocaust, and it's a kind of an even-handed effort. We sold that for a long time, then we ran out. It's still available. I think the market on that is really largely gone right now. There hasn't been, interestingly enough, really very much that's new. I think the issue has been pretty thoroughly investigated. I don't think there's anything really remarkably new that's going to be coming in, but some of the writers that have been important in that regard are Robert Forrestone, Jürgen
Graf. He writes for the website, does he?
Well, Robert Forrestone, he writes now. He hasn't really written much about history. He has. We distribute anything new that he does put out, just about everything new that he puts out. But lately he's been commenting on other people, but he hasn't done much about history. There's been very little about the actual historiography with regard to the Holocaust question in recent years. There's a huge amount on all of these aspects of this question that are available on our website and on some other websites as well. And it's not so much a question of what's new, but just going through the tremendous amount that's already available, I think.
Sure. Now, yesterday I asked my listeners to answer a question: why is it essential to debunk the Holocaust? And I had several responses, and had some very profound responses to this question.
Okay.
And you wrote an article entitled "How Relevant Is Holocaust Revisionism?"
Right.
I believe you wrote that in January of 2009, and you stated at the bottom of your article, and I quote, "Setting straight the historical record about the wartime fate of Europe's Jews is a worthy endeavor."
Right.
But there should be no illusions about its social political relevance.
Right.
In the real world struggle against Jewish Zionist power, Holocaust revisionism has proved to be as much a hindrance as a help, unquote.
Yes.
Now, why do you say that?
Because there are some people who believe that if one can show that the Holocaust didn't happen or it's a lie, that Jewish Zionist power will fall apart. I'm not saying that either is or even should be the main goal. I'm just saying that people have to understand that because an event in history can be shown, if one clarifies the record, that doesn't necessarily have any political impact whatsoever. It's how it's perceived in the public that it has political power. The Holocaust campaign that exists in our society is not the source of Jewish Zionist power or Israel's power. It's a symptom of it. It's an expression of it. You know, it's interesting that textbooks and newspapers published in the 1940s and 50s didn't talk about the Holocaust, but Jewish Zionist power was important and it was growing at that time. The Holocaust campaign, it's now obligatory in schools, is in place. Beginning in the late 1970s and 1980s, and
sure.
That is a part of a concerted effort to make that to make that happen. But with regard to not only the Holocaust but other issues, just setting the record straight doesn't change things. Millions of people around the world understand much more than Americans the truth about the Middle East conflict, but the support that Israel gets from our political system and our media They don't care what the historical record is. This is an expression of power. And how history is perceived is an expression of power in society. Now, I and others have done a great deal to set the record straight about what happened in World War II and what didn't happen in World War II with regard to the Holocaust. But that alone, setting the record straight, doesn't change how the tremendous power that the Jewish Zionist lobby and so forth has in our society. I think some of my
listeners would disagree with you.
A lot of people are aware of things, but in Congress and so forth, they don't care what happened. They don't really care what the historical record is. If you point out, but not only with regard to the Holocaust, but with regard to almost every issue, politicians in our society just simply ignore what the reality is. They don't care. They go by what they act in accord with power.
Sure.
It's a basic misunderstanding, I think, of the relationship between truth and power. It's possible for the Soviet Union to endure for 70 years, even though it's based on all sorts of lies. And it's possible for power to be held in all sorts of societies for a long time, contrary to the historical truth and contrary to reality. In other words,
sure.
People have to understand, it's important to understand, that just because a fact might be established doesn't necessarily translate into undermining or changing the power of those who that fact should embarrass and should undermine.
Sure. Now, you wrote a book, The Zionist Terror Network. Weren't you also writing a book about the Holocaust?
A great deal of the book that I was working on has already been published, and many chapters of that are available on our website. One chapter of that book was on the little-known story of collaboration between the Third Reich government and the Zionist movement during the 1930s. And that's been a very widely circulated thing. But that's just one of a number of chapters. I didn't completely finish the whole thing. However, much of it, a great deal of it, is already been published, albeit not in book form, but in article form.
Okay.
You know very well. No, this is a very important point you raised about historical truth. Whether it's about the American Civil War or about the Middle East, setting the record straight is a very important task, and I have devoted a great deal of time to it, and many others have, but that doesn't necessarily change how the political reality is. In fact, I would say that our society has veered away from what we should learn from history and historical reality, even though facts are out there, available for people who care to look into it.
Sure. Now, on March 6th, I listened to a presentation this morning of yours called America's Malaise, Zendel's Ordeal, Criticism, and Sacrifice. And that was on March 6th, 2010. Now, was that at a conference?
Oh, gosh, I don't remember. It might have been at a conference. It might have been in a meeting. It might have been a broadcast I did. I just don't remember.
Okay.
You know, the Zendel case is remarkable, fascinating. That's a good example. People like Ernst Zendel are put into jail. They're imprisoned, regardless of what they say, whether it's true or not true, because it's the expression of power in our society. And the punishment for dissidents on this issue is worse today than it was in the 1950s or 1960s. This isn't because the historical record is less known than it was back in those days. It's because the power of those who are determined to crush dissent has become greater over time.
Now, is that a problem for you? Do you feel that you don't really want to talk about the Holocaust for fear that, well, it says in your biography that you've been called a Holocaust denier, but you seem to focus, we got to go to a break.
Okay, we'll go to break. Great. Okay.
Right back.
Are you you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny and that the banks know this and hope you don't find out? Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Back, friends. My guest this hour is Mark Weber. Excuse me. The director of the Institute for Historical Review. And when did you take over as director?
I became director in 1995. Okay. The director before me was Tom Marcellus, and, well, there have been a number of directors over the years, but I became director in 95. But, you know, you were raising a question about, again, the Holocaust and its relationship and so forth. I mean, the Institute for Historical Review is the Institute for Historical Review, not the Institute for Holocaust Review. The The first time I spoke at an IHR conference was in 1980. That's quite a few years ago, 30-some years ago. And the talk that I gave at that time wasn't about the Holocaust. Most of the speakers, by far, over the years, who've spoken at IHR conferences and meetings and so forth, have dealt with issues other than the Holocaust. Now, I've spoken and written more than perhaps any more than certainly as much or just about as much as any American has on this issue. But I find that with the passage of time, people are less interested in the actual historiography of what happened in Europe during World War II with Jews in Europe than they were 20, 30 years ago. And part of that is just the passage of time. That's understandable. In the 1920s and 30s, there was a tremendous amount of interest in the question of the origins of the First World War. Today, that's much less important than it was during those years. And by the same token, I think that it's with the passage of time, I get far less requests for interviews talking about the Holocaust historiography, actually of history, than I did, 15, 20 years ago. That's a natural thing. It's an important, it's a completely understandable thing. And there's a much more interest in today than there was before in the background of the Middle East conflict, for example. That's because that's in the news. And we try to make what we do in talking about history relevant to issues going on here today. You know, more importantly than that, the dealing with these questions we're dealing with today, the United States relationship with Israel or the wars that the United States is involved in around the world, those are important issues, crucial issues, relevant issues for all of us, regardless of whether the number of Jews killed in World War II was 1 million, 6 million, or so forth. Mm-hmm. Whether, I mean, those are really relevant things, and it's important to understand the historical record so that we understand things that are relevant and pertinent in our world today.
Sure. Now, do you believe the Holocaust happened as the official version states?
Not as it happened. No, no. I mean, but...
What part of it do you believe?
Well, there's no... this is a very, very difficult thing because when people talk about the Holocaust, people often are, in fact, the U.S. Holocaust Museum and so forth, they're very imprecise in defining what they mean by that. If the Holocaust is defined as the systematic extermination of 6 million Jews in gas chambers, then that's not accurate. For example, this insistence in newspapers and by the officials that 6 million Jews were systematically killed is just demonstrably untrue. Now, that doesn't mean the Jews weren't killed, but it means that this definition is not correct. And most people, when they talk about the Holocaust, they're not concerned about exact numbers and so forth. In fact, if you say, well, look, I think the 6 million figure is an exaggeration, it's not true, people say, well, you're quibbling. And the response to that is, I'm not the one, or you're not the one, who's insisting on this 6 million figure. It's propagated in our society, insisted upon, in this dogmatic way. It's very difficult for most people to talk about this in anything, in any kind of objective or sober way, because the issue is so emotion-laden for so many people.
Sure. So you believe that that the Germans killed some Jews?
Yes.
Deliberately?
Yes.
In what way?
Well, I testified in 1988 as an expert witness in the Zindel trial. I testified for 5 days. I was perhaps the longest single witness during that trial, and I was recognized by the court as an expert witness on this issue. And I testified, for example, that large numbers of Jews were shot in the occupied Soviet territories. And
of those were shot by Soviets.
Well, maybe. But I testified that many Jews were shot, were killed. And I think that's true. I think the record shows that.
Right.
But anyway, that's just one example. And I testified about that back in 1988, and I've been consistent about that in the years since. And there's no question also that many Jews died indirectly as a consequence of these policies. For example, in his book...
What policies?
Well, for example, in the book The Hoax of the 20th Century by Arthur Butz, he says that Auschwitz can... in truth, be called a death camp in the sense that many Jews died in the camp. Hundreds of thousands of Jews died in Auschwitz.
Not according to the official record.
Well, first of all, I'll get
to
that.
Not according to the records.
Well, the records show very clearly, I think, that large numbers of Jews died in Auschwitz.
Okay. But you were talking about some policies. What policies?
Well, first of all, I was talking about Auschwitz, and then you talked about that. But no, I mean, for example, if you read any serious book by Arthur Butz's book...
We have another break. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Okay.
Your You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesit, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
We are back. Welcome, friends. My guest this hour is Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review, and that website is ihr.org. And you said you were moving to a new headquarters and warehouse?
Yes, because, we've been under more pressure and intimidation and harassment in the last several months than
so
we
what,
have
talk,
in many years.
About Zionism?
Well, it depends on who you ask, I guess, but we've been targeted by one group called the Jewish Defense Organization. This is a militant Zionist group with a long record of violence. The head of it, Mordecai Levy, served a time in prison for felonious assault and shooting people, shooting someone. We've also been attacked by a group called the Anti-Racist Action, which is a thuggish, violent, semi-communist organization, neo-Marxist organization, and also a local Mexican-American activist named Gustavo Arellano was urging people just a few weeks ago to come out and demonstrate and picket our offices. Now, the thing it fell through, but we're under more of a spotlight from groups like that in the last several months than we have been for many years. But I want to go back to another...
But everyone with a beating heart and a warm body knows that the Zionists control the media, Congress, and the courts, and that's kind of what you emphasize. So
right.
Why would they pick on you exclusively?
I don't know if they, I didn't say they picked on us exclusively at all. No, I mean, we're attacked by, along with the other groups as well. I suppose it's because we have been reaching more people during the last 2 years than we have for a long time. I don't understand myself exactly why we're being targeted more now. But back to another point you were raising earlier about the Holocaust. For example, probably the best known so-called Holocaust victim is Anne Frank. And everybody's heard of the Diary of Anne Frank, and it's obligatory in many schools to read this book. Now, Anne Frank died, she didn't die in a gas chamber. She wasn't killed. She died of typhus in the Bergen-Belsen camp a few weeks before the end of the war. She was an indirect, you might say, victim of the war, of German policy. But she was arrested and rounded up. And put
German policy. You keep bringing up this policy, and I'm wondering which policy you mean.
Well, the policy was that she and many other Jews were rounded up and deported. She was arrested and rounded up with her family in Amsterdam in Holland in 1944. She was deported to Auschwitz. When the Soviets were advancing toward the camp, she was then sent hundreds of miles westwards to the Bergen-Belsen camp. Her father actually survived the Auschwitz camp. But the point is, she wouldn't have been arrested except because she was Jewish. I mean, that's why she was rounded up, and that's why Jews were deported. But she died not as a... She wasn't killed. Now, for many people, they don't care about the distinction about whether she was gassed or died of typhus or so forth. They just say, well, she's a victim of the Holocaust. Now, the fact is, she wasn't killed. There was a policy by the German government to round up and deport Jews and put them in camps. And that's what happened to Anne Frank. And for many people, it doesn't matter. They don't care if she was gassed or shot or she died of typhus or starvation or whatever. She's, quote, a victim of the Holocaust. Now, that's why making the distinction, as we try to do, and I think it's important to do, is lost on many people. They don't really care. And in a sense, I mean, I understand the point because she died, you might say, indirectly as a result or as a consequence of both German policy and of the war, and of the thing. But my point is that it's very difficult to speak and to set the record straight because some people don't want to hear that Anne Frank was even rounded up, and other people don't want to hear that she wasn't killed. So it's very difficult to talk in kind of a sober, objective way about what happened to not only Anne Frank, but many other Jews and many other people during World War II.
Now, her father wrote her memoirs with a ballpoint pen, which basically wasn't even invented when she was alive. So that was a big farce. Now, you've been called a Holocaust denier. Have you ever been in jail? Have you ever been incarcerated?
I haven't been in jail. No, I haven't suffered in the way that Ernst Zundel or Robert Forrestone or many others have, because we live in the United States of America. I mean, I'm an American citizen, and I haven't been. I mean, there have been some Americans who've been imprisoned too in Europe for speaking out. But I haven't. I'm not one of them. Just like quite a few others have not as well, because we live in the United States. Arthur Butz, for example, has never been imprisoned. He's a professor at Northwestern University. But
David Coles was beaten up, and several other people have been beaten up.
Who?
David Coles.
David Cole. Oh yeah. Right. He was beaten up. Yeah, he wasn't in jail, of course, but he was beaten up by the Jewish Defense League people, by these thugs of Irv Rubin and so forth. Yeah, that's true. And other people have been very badly treated. But, you know, others, amazingly, haven't been beaten up or haven't been... It's kind of arbitrary, and it's, very, very sad. It's very important to remember how, and keep in mind how the Holocaust is denial or skepticism about it as a crime in Europe. It's the only chapter of history that's treated in this way in a number of countries.
Sure. We do have a couple callers on the line. Let's take James in California. James, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna and Mark.
Hello.
Mark, I agree that, that the Holocaust is an expression of Jewish power in the 65 years following World War II. But I think it's also very important to continue to attack the official dogma.
Right.
I agree. As a means to help dethrone the Jewish Zionist matrix of, you know, ethos and thought that is so pervasive in our society. It may not be the end-all and be-all, but it's got to be one more tactic on our side, and thus shouldn't be, you know, just forgotten about and, hey, let's move on to bigger issues.
Right, I agree. And that's why, you know, we continue to talk about this issue. We continue to try to set the record straight on this issue. I think that is important. And few people have done more. I agree. I'm just struck, though, as time goes on, that for many people, increasingly, that's less relevant than what, say, you know, Israel is doing today, you might say. But no, I agree. Those are all important issues.
All the people that I associate with who are in, you know, say, the white nationalist movement, they engage in lots of active anti-Zionist activities. One of them is challenging the official dogma of the Holocaust. And they spend an equal amount of time to point out the hypocrisy and warmongering and terrorism of Israel and inflicts on the Palestinians. And they point out the Jewish control of the media, and they point out the Jewish control of our education system. And so it's just, I don't know anybody who focuses exclusively on the Holocaust.
Right.
It's just one more thing. So I think it's important to keep that. Definitely, it's critical to keep that, along with all the other things I mentioned, in dethroning the Jewish ethos.
Right. I don't disagree with you. That's a good point.
Well,
yeah.
Just one specific question. Do you believe there were homicidal gas chambers anywhere in occupied Europe, German-occupied Europe,
well,
during the Second World War?
The short answer is yes. I think some Jews were gassed. The longer answer is, I think that the investigations that have been carried out by Fred Lucher and so forth are very valuable and right. But he's investigated Auschwitz, Dachau, and so forth. In fact, I accompanied him on one of the investigation tours that he did. But he's not able to investigate, of course, the sites of Belzec, Sobibor, and Treblinka, because there's nothing there anymore, and there's nothing really to investigate in that sense. But my view on this is similar, although not exactly the same, as that of David Irving, for example.
Mm-hmm. So where do you think the NSDAP gassed Jews?
The NSDAP didn't do anything. I mean, that's the party.
Okay.
And the party organization didn't do anything.
On behalf of the NSDAP, I guess I should say.
Well, it's a little like saying that the Republican Party invaded Iraq or something. I mean, that's an odd way to put it. I mean, George Bush ordered the U.S.
Okay, so who do you think did this?
Well, I think that the Jews were gassed at Treblinka, Sobibor, and Belzec, probably, yeah.
But there were never any claims that those camps had gas chambers.
Oh, yeah, there have been claims that. Oh, yeah.
Where?
Well, they've made those claims for many, many years. Those claims have been made for a long time.
And how many Jews do you think were gassed?
I don't know. I don't know enough about those particular camps to really pronounce about it. And I think that there's a lot about those camps that's still very mysterious. And I'm reluctant to be very definite about those three camps.
You're definite in your belief that Jews were gassed, but then you just said
no. I'm not that definite. I believe so, but I'm not. It's not a it's not a dogma. I mean, I'm.
Uh-huh. Shouldn't you revise your belief and say, I haven't investigated those, so I don't know?
Well, you ask about a belief. It's not something that I have. I've written an article about, and you can, you know, find that on our website, in which I say, well, it's not clear, and there's a lot of claims about Treblinka that are not true, but the balance of evidence, I think, is that at least large numbers of people were put to death there. But, again, I'm tentative about that, and that's why I don't want to, I don't have a dogmatic or it's not a specialty of mine. What's also true, though, too, is that unquestionably many claims about gas chambers are untrue. I mean, many claims that have been made over the years about gassings are lies. They're not true. And we've written about that as well. But you see, look, whether Jews were killed or not killed, whether 1 million or 100,000 or 10 Jews were killed or not killed, doesn't change the reality of the impact and the role, and I think the harmful role, that the Jewish Zionist lobby or power has in our society today. In other words, Israel doesn't become a good country and good for America because Hitler killed Jews. And by the same token, it isn't a bad country if they didn't. I mean, the two are different issues.
Just one more question on the Reinhardt camps. If you believe, as you say, you believe that Jews were gassed there, what leads you to believe that?
Because there's a lot of records of Jews being transported. I mean, there's a number of things. I mean, I could go into several things, but one of them is that large numbers of Jews unquestionably were taken to these camps, and there's no record of them leaving the camps. There's no record of them going anyplace else other than that.
And so you assume that they were gassed just because the records
Well,
if the camps are gone, then the records would probably be destroyed at the same time that the Allies destroyed
the camps. Right, that's right. And I'm not insisting on this, but there's no question, for example, that in 1942-43, large numbers of Jews were transported from Warsaw, the Warsaw Ghetto, to Treblinka, and there's no record of them after that.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe they were shot. But why do you believe they were gassed? Specifically,
well, I don't want to be pinned down on it, and I'm just saying it's an indication that they were killed.
Okay, they were killed, but maybe you should just say it's an indication they were killed. How? We don't know.
Right, that's fine. But if you ask me, do I believe? Well, probably, yes. But I'm not. You're putting it a very good way, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you both.
Okay.
Thanks, James.
Yep.
Okay, let's take John in Michigan. John, welcome to the program.
Hi, Deanna. Thanks for taking my call. Mark, I was just wondering, was it your Mossad handler, Andrew Allen, who gave you the directive to wrest control of the IHR away from Willis Cardo and try to financially ruin him? And
the answer is no.
What about the dissolution of all the inventory, all the books that Cardo had published?
Okay.
And printed.
The question isn't really a serious question. It's a loaded question.
Andrew Allen from Atmosai?
Well, look, I don't have any relationship now with Andrew Allen. But
would you have
Andrew Allen
from way back when he was in the Peace Corps, and you guys are good friends from way back, right?
I don't know if he was in the Peace Corps. But look, the question assumes, I guess, that I have a, quote, Mossad handler. But that's silly. That's ridiculous. I mean, and I think that any person who, follows and is familiar with this thing would understand that. But nobody can disprove such a claim. I can't disprove that you're not a Mossad agent, or anybody, or Deanna, or anybody. Nobody can disprove something like that.
Okay, John, did you have another question?
No, I guess maybe the people who have been following the IHR would maybe just wonder what happened to all the millions that you won from Cardo in the lawsuit.
Okay.
That money's all gone now. You're moving, and the IHR's bankrupt.
It's not a serious question. It's ridiculous, and the IHR is not bankrupt. We have. But anyway, that's it's hard to answer a question that loaded, as it were.
Okay. John, thank you for calling the program. Let's take Carolyn. Carolyn?
Hello, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Okay, this is Carolyn. Well, I just got in the last 15 minutes or so of this hour. So I don't know what all came before, but I've heard enough since I've been on to have some comments and maybe a question. But Mark Weber says that amazingly, for someone who was once a true revisionist and went along with all the revisionists, and then at some point he changed his mind and said, well, Holocaust revisionism – and he seems to be saying since I'm listening, is not as important as talking about what the Jews are doing, Jewish power. Well, Jewish power comes from, it didn't start there, but it is so secure in the world today because of Holocaust. And so we need to talk about Holocaust. Nobody agrees with Mark, not even David Irving, I guess, who gives wrong information about things. But so let's get to what he says about Treblinka. Treblinka, gas chambers, he believes gas chambers were there. I don't understand how you can believe that, Mark, when you must have stopped reading all Holocaust revisionist literature, because Jürgen Graf, Thomas Kuhs, Carlo Mattogno recently came out with the book Sobibor. And Sobibor
could you
is
hold
difficult.
On, Carolyn, hold on over the break. We need to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone about 20 milligrams per day would not only reverse osteoporosis but would greatly reduce the cancer issues as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website healthlinkamerica.com to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
All righty, welcome back. My guest this hour is Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review. And Carolyn is on the phone. She had a question or comment.
Yeah, I was just talking. Thank you, Deanna. I was just talking about Sobibor, which is... Because Mark was talking about Treblinka, but Sobibor, Belzec, Treblinka are all similar camps on the eastern end there of the general government at that time, and they right at the border, close to the border with the Soviet Union, which was then occupied by Wehrmacht troops. And so these Jews that were taken to these transit camps, he says, Mark says, well, we don't know what happened to them. There's no record of them. Not true. They were transported on into the Soviet Union. And Thomas Cuse especially is doing very good work in identifying documentation and written diaries and so on of Jews, saying where they were in the Baltic countries, they were in Russia, they were in a lot of places, and there's a lot of there's evidence, not of every single one of them, but there's evidence of large groups of them, and there's evidence of Dutch Jews, and particularly which are said to have been for sure murdered. So when Mark Weber says that that he's basing this, you know, his belief on what's known, he's not keeping up with it. I don't know if he really doesn't know about these things or if he's just pretending like he doesn't know about it so that he can line himself up with David Irving, who has this idea that these Jews were gassed there by Himmler, which he is really, he can't have it backed up too well because all the other revisionists who really study this hard don't agree with him. And David Irving, I just want to also say, is not really a Holocaust historian or a true Holocaust revisionist because he doesn't keep up with it. He doesn't know about it. He only looks at his own. He only comes up with his own ideas.
Sure.
And another thing Mark says, he doesn't want to be pinned down but as a on any of these issues, but as a revisionist, as someone who considers himself a historian, he definitely should be willing to be pinned down and give a definite answer.
Okay, Mark, your comment?
Well, thank you very much, Carolyn. I haven't seen this book. I may revise my view about it if I see new information. I'm not dogmatic about this. You may be right. I just haven't seen this book. And it may be I'll change my perception of the thing. I'm not trying to insist upon a view about any of this. I think we do agree, as you said, that we should try to understand as well as possible, and that dealing with the issue of Jewish sign is so important, I think, in our society, regardless of what happened and didn't happen in World War II with the so-called
Mark,
Holocaust.
A question. Has Arthur Butz called for your resignation and also Robert Forreson?
Yes.
And why is that?
Because they feel very strongly that the focus of the IHR should be much, much more on the Holocaust. They think that should be the focus. And I think it's important, but I don't agree about the purpose of the IHR. The IHR, I think, should be faithful to its mission from the very beginning. It's not.
And that was the beginning when Willis Carter found it in 1979?
No, I don't. I don't want to get into that right now. I mean, that's another matter. But anyway, the purpose and the mission of the IHR has
I'm
not
sorry.
Changed.
We have run out of time.
Okay.
We have run out of time. Thank you so much, Mark. It's been a pleasure having you on the program.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye, listeners. Thanks, listeners, for calling in. And I'm sorry, Werner, we didn't get to you. Bye-bye. Talk to you tomorrow.
The next round of the worst financial